Wednesday, 5 p.m.
Here we are.
That's right. Once again, time for American Hit Radio.
Just like clockwork.
If we are just like clockwork. I mean, I thank God somebody winds us up. Every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m., as we have been for decades now, probably showing our age as well. But on Wednesdays, we've been running our way through a series, which we're calling the Top 500 of the Top 40 and the Alternative Top 40. It's the second one that is relevant to this time because we've been playing like at a ratio of like 2-1 almost. We've been playing Top 40 versus the Alternative. The Alternative is albums that didn't make the Top 40 that we feel deserved to. And this is show number 102 out of 500 in our series. We started in January of 64, and this is actually an album. It's our very last album from the year 1971. And I think it's taken us 2 years to cover 1 year. And I'm really not kidding, because if we're only doing one album per show, 1971 was such an astounding year that out of 1,000 albums that we're trying to present, close to 10% of them were from 1971. It was that unbelievable of a year. I didn't really count the exact number, but it's been high. And we're ending with a bang, an album that only peaked at number 93 here in America when it was released, as I said, in December of 1971. But it's an album that almost everybody knows and almost everybody loves as well. It's called Hunky Dory, and it's by David Bowie. And it's odd to note that Bowie's arc of fame from obscurity to global superstar was so gradual that two of his most well-known and revered early albums never even reached the top 40 in America. Hunky Dory was Bowie's first album to chart at all, stalling at number 93. Hard to believe. It was his fourth album and also his fourth significant stylistic shift, moving from English music hall show tunes to whatever the hell Space Oddity was. I used to like to call it Dylan meets Donovan on the desk on the deck of the Starship Enterprise. To proto-heavy metal songsmith. His last album, Man Who Sold the World, was sort of like a heavy metal album almost. On Hunky Dory, he hangs in the balance between his Dylan fetishes and a fascination with Mark Bolan's androgyny, mixing bisexual folk with full intensity glam placed him in a very rarefied place where he had precious little competition, but he also had precious little of an audience to count on. This album came out, Heidi, imagine this, an album as revered as Hunky Dory. Pretty much anybody who makes an all-time best of list has this album on there somewhere. At the time of its release, after 3 months of being available for sale, it sold less than 5,000 copies.
Whoopsie.
Nobody was buying it. It wasn't until even after the whole...
His mom didn't even buy it.
Nobody did. It really wasn't until 72, 73, when people started looking at his back catalog and buying them up, that it actually started to chart. And that's when it made it to number 93, much later than its release date. That's how I heard it. So I became a fan of Bowie around the album Aladdin Sane, which was the album after Ziggy Stardust. So Ziggy Stardust was my next album, Backward. Took me a while to get used to that change in style. Loved it after a while. Then I went back to Hunky Dory, and I'm like, what is this? This can't be the same guy. It's like sounds like a folk album. Somebody's like, you know, basically dealing with existentialism. What? This is crazy. And after a while, I just got to say, it became... what might be my favorite Bowie album. Not too positive for that, because there's a lot of great ones to choose from. But the album opens with a song called Changes, and it's the perfect song to establish Bowie as an album artist. It's a brilliant piece of psychological self-analysis, perhaps anticipating the pattern of change that would ultimately define his career. The song is wordy, careening through syllables over a bass of Rick Wakeman's warm piano chords as Bowie moves from the personal to the universal, ultimately establishing an anthem for a searching generation of post-Beatles youth. I think that could set it up. On American Radio 90.3 WHPC, here's David Bowie with Changes.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Thou may change me. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Change
it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to her next to me.
Time may change me, but you can't twist time. Strange fascination, fascinating. Changes are taking the base I'm going through.
Changes. Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Oh, look out, you rock and rollers.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Pretty soon now you're gonna get older.
Time may change me, but I can't trace time. I said that time may change me, but I can't trace time.
Closing out with just a touch of David Bowie's saxophone there at the end of that wonderful song. What? I mean, after, imagine that the album before this was like a metal album. And then that appears. I mean, to me, what's brilliant about this is it's like Bowie deciding to basically just open up his mind, stop trying to be too much stylistically anything, and do a little bit of self-analysis. He was obviously reading a lot of Nietzsche and perhaps the existentialists as well. And they were inspiring him lyrically, as you could hear on Changes, and you can definitely hear on this next track, Oh You Pretty Things, where he literally quotes Nietzsche in a couple of places in the lyrics. Also, it would be hard to overestimate the importance of Rick Wakeman's presence on this album, Hunky Dory. His exacting, prodigious style informs, even defines, almost everything he plays on this album, particularly on Oh You Pretty Things and a song coming up soon called Life on Mars. Lyrically, they may be two of Bowie's most esoteric compositions, which is really saying something. But they are also two of his loveliest melodies. In retrospect, you can hear the gears turning in his head as he moves toward creating a persona that would soon define him as the figurehead of the glam movement. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here's Bowie with Oh You Pretty Things, followed by Eight Line Poem.
Wake up, you sleepy head. put on some clothes, shake up your bed. Put another log on the fire for me. I made some breakfast and coffee. Look out my window, what do I see? A crack in the sky and a hand reaching down to me. All the nightmares came today, and it looks as though they're here to stay. What are we coming to? No room for me, no fun for you. I think about a world to come where the books were found by the golden ones, written in pain, written it all by a puzzled man who questioned what we were here for. All the strangers came today, and it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, you pretty things, don't you know you're driving your
troubles and troubles insane?
Their faces in golden rays. Don't kid yourself, they belong to you. They're the start of the coming race. The other's a bitch, we finished our news. Homo sapiens have outgrown their use. All the strangers came today, and it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, you pretty things.
To the sky. Oh, oh, oh.
some pretty guitar there from Mick Ronson, almost like country-like. You can understand,
it's got a little twang.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, oh, that's why Dylan, you know, hired him a few years on, you know? Most Americans don't know this, but the song, Oh You Pretty Things, was a pretty big hit in the UK for Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. Bowie had written it, and the tape found its way to him. And he just recorded his own version as a single. And in Great Britain, it was the first time most listeners had even heard of David Bowie since Space Oddity, which was like 2-3 years ago. So it's like he's coming back as a songwriter for Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. Very strange. But you know, Newman said, quote, "My view is that David Bowie is the best writer in Britain at the moment. Certainly the best since Lennon and McCartney." Huh. Oh, you go, Peter Noon. All right. Now, this next track is probably the stunner of the album. Life on Mars is just, it's almost impossible to explain how gorgeous this song is on a melodic level alone. And you add in the work that you hear from Rick Wakeman, who gives this song such incredibly exquisite power. And then what Ken Scott does with the production, which again, it's a kitchen sink production. It just rises to the point where it's a full orchestra. And Bowie himself says on his own album, he wrote in parenthesis, "inspired by Frankie." He literally was thinking of Frank Sinatra when he wrote Life on Mars. Imagine that.
That's pretty crazy.
On American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, here is, from the album, Hunky Dory, Life on Mars.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for, for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those gay men go. It's a freaky show. Take a look at the lawman beating up the wrong guy. Is there life on Mars? It's on America's tortured brow. Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Blue Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clowns. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, and I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars?
there's so much I've got to say playing that song. I mean, the first thing is like his references to classic movies and going to the theater to see a film, and but the film is a saddening bore. In the meantime, the cover of this album has Bowie posed in a Greta Garbo like lookalike thing on the cover. It's definitely him going back to the days, an homage to like classic theater. There's no doubt about it, right? You can see that. Rick Wakeman. Okay, the opening chords of the song "Life on Mars" are the exact same chord sequence as "My Way" by Frank Sinatra.
Ah.
So that's where Bowie got it from. He was like hearing "My Way," and he used the chords, but obviously invented an entirely new melody, a whole new feel, obviously. But that's astounding to think about. You know, again, you wouldn't get it unless maybe you were a musician who said, "Oh, look at that! He's using the My Way chords." Rick Wakeman, he met Bowie just moments before this album was about to be recorded. And when they fell in love with each other pretty much, as you know, musically very quickly. And Bowie even asked Wakeman to join the band, but Wakeman was already considering, he was already being courted by Yes. And he agreed to stick with Yes, but it was a close, it was a close possibility that he could have said, no, I might work with Bowie. Cause here's his quote. He basically heard demos of the songs for this album, and his quote is that in their raw brilliance, it was the finest selection of songs I have ever heard in one sitting in my entire life regarding this album. Now, Bowie's a new dad on this album, and so that's going to affect it. All of a sudden, Rick Wakeman doesn't matter on the next song. They're smart enough to use, Bowie and Ken Scott, the producer, are smart enough to use instrumentation intelligently to give each song its own unique power. The piano for the lushness and guitar, electric guitar when it's needed, wonk, and acoustic guitar when that's needed. And if you're writing about your newborn son, well, it's time for acoustic guitars. So Bowie writes on the album, what does he say? He goes, this one's for Z. Oh yeah, for small Z, because he named him Zoe at the time. These days he's Duncan Bowie, a renowned filmmaker, by the way, David Bowie's son. Duncan. On American Radio 90.3 WHPC, this is dedicated to Duncan. It's called Kooks.
Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cookie too. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. And if you ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cats, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be
'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry.
That's a song that moved me so deeply when I was a kid, hearing this album as Bowie as a dad talking to his son. I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. You know, just a beautiful sentiment, and it feels like a love song to a child. Well written. Well done, David. Now, speaking of well written and well done, this next song is, when you get what it really is, and it took me decades. So I don't want to make it sound like it's obvious, but it's a song about writer's block. And how many people can write a song about writer's block? It's a song that basically, Bowie was in America and he found himself incapable of coming up with new ideas, and it was driving him insane. And he decided to use the idea of having writer's block as the thing that would inspire him to write the song. So Quicksand is about sinking in the quicksand of his thought because he's incapable of coming up with what he wants himself to write. It's, as it says in Wikipedia, which I think is a rather clever quote from writer Colin Wilson, that it allowed the consciousness to keep the unconsciousness beyond reach. So it was Bowie's plea to search within himself to be shown the way. How amazing to write a song about being unable to write a song. On American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHBC, here's David Bowie with Quicksand.
I'm closer to the golden dawn, immersed in Crowley's uniform of imagery. I'm living in a silent film, portraying Himmler's sacred realm of dream reality. I'm frightened by the total goal, drawing to the ragged hole, and I ain't got the power anymore. No, I ain't got the power anymore. I'm the twisted name on Garbo's eyes, living proof of Churchill's lies. I'm destiny. I'm torn between the light and dark, where others see their target, divine symmetry. Thank you.
just a mortal with potential of a Superman. I'm living on. I'm tethered to the logic of Homo sapiens. Can't take my eyes from the great salvation of bullshit faith. If I don't explain what you want to know, you can tell me all about it on the next photo. I'm sinking in the quicksand of my thoughts, and I ain't got the power anymore. Don't believe in yourself. Don't deceive with belief. Knowledge comes with death's release.
Well, therein lies probably one of the best side ones of any album ever. Really? You got to remember, of course, we're coming from a vinyl era when people were now beginning to flock toward albums. And it was a significant change because up until like 1967, 68, 69, a lot of people were buying 7-inch singles and albums were like a new thing. And all of a sudden, this idea, although nobody was flocking to Bowie yet, frankly, but the ones who did, who discovered this album, were smart enough to scream to the heavens. And it worked. It eventually did work. And Bowie himself did it by continuing his career and becoming even, you know, well, he became Ziggy Stardust immediately after this album. As this album was done, his next job was to become Ziggy Stardust. That's crazy talk. That's really, truly unbelievable. So we flip it over, and it kind of starts in an unusual way. It's a song called Fill Your Heart. It's a cover song written by Biff Rose with Paul Williams. I've never heard, I must confess, I've never heard the Biff Rose version. I'm told that Bowie's version is exactly true to it. And it really is apparently Bowie singing something that he felt that he needed to want to back up about Fill Your Heart with Love. And then it goes into a song about Andy Warhol. And this is where it gets weird because this is where Bowie does a trifecta of songs that are meant to be an homage to people that he loved and was influenced by. Andy Warhol, then Bob Dylan, and then Lou Reed of Velvet Underground. So they're back to back. But Andy Warhol, when he first heard the song, Bowie played it for him, and Andy Warhol just left the room, never said a word. Never said a word. He obviously didn't love it. I do. Sorry, Andy.
Sorry, not sorry.
And the song still lives. So on American Radio 90.3 WHPC, here's Fill Your Heart, and we'll segue it right into Andy Warhol.
Fill your heart with love today. Don't play the game of tag. Things that happened in the past only happened in your mind, only in your mind. Oh, forget your mind and you'll be free, yeah.
writings on the wall. Free air, and you can know it all if you choose. Just remember, lovers never lose, 'cause they are free of thoughts unpure and of thoughts unkind. Gentleness clears the soul, love cleans the mind and makes it free. Happening. Dragons have been bled. Gentleness is everywhere. Fear is just in your head. Only in your head. Fear is in your head. Only in your head. So forget your head and you'll be free. The writing was on the wall. Free, yeah. And you can know it all if you choose. Just remember, lovers never lose, 'cause they are free of thoughts unpure and of thoughts unkind. Gentleness clears the soul, love will clean your mind and make you free.
Hole, actually. Hole. It's hole. As in holes. What? Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol. Like hole. Hole.
Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he's fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do.
Andy
whoa, let's just scream. Hang him on my whoa, Andy, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
I think Andy would have left the room when he said he thinks about paint and he thinks about glue. What a jolly boring thing to do.
It was a little bit of an insult.
Brilliant, though. It's a brilliant lyric. And now the next target, this is what's weird about side two. The side two is like the, oh, I will sing about my heroes. But, and Bowie is meaning to emulate that, emulate or at least praise them. He didn't mean that to, hurt Andy Warhol at all. He meant that as praise toward what he did. This next song, Song for Bob Dylan, is the title. But he never, ever says Bob Dylan. He never calls him anything except Robert Zimmerman, which is rather remarkable. And as that, you know, Dylan has, you know, has been out of touch with music since 1967. So 4 years have passed, except when Bowie wrote this, Bangladesh happened, and we already covered that. So this is rather interesting. Here's Bowie singing Song for Bob Dylan on American Radio, 90.3 WHBC. This is from the album Hunky Dory, of course, by the way.
To truthful vengeance, there could be lies to the floor. Brought a few more people on and put the fear in a whole lot more. Ah, here she comes, here she comes, here she comes again. Lost your train of thought. Your paintings are all your own. While troubles are rising, we'd rather be scared together than alone. Oh, here she comes, here she comes, here she comes again. Same old crazy lady from the brow of the super brain. She has scratched this world to pieces as she comes on like a friend. But a couple of songs from your old scrapbook could send her home again. Oh.
a while down the old street. Tell him we lost his poems, so we're writing on the walls. Give us back our unity, give us back our family.
Okay, with the time we got left to finish this fabulous album, the third tribute track is to Lou Reed, Velvet Underground. He even wrote on the liner notes, you know, some VU white light returned with thanks for the song Queen Bitch. Good, oh my, this is such a, you interpret it as you wish. And the final song, Bewley Brothers, probably one of the most frightening Bowie songs that was ever written. He did have a half brother who had mental issues. His name was Terry Burns. And, it probably has a lot to do with what inspired Bowie to write this song. And, as terrifying as it is, there's still a very, very deep beauty to it, which is what makes this album so wonderful. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, we present you the end of Hunky Dory by David Bowie. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.
Score, so I can't see her letting him go. Walk out of her heart, walk out of her mind. Oh, not her. She's so swishy in her satin and tan, in her frock coat and bibbidi-bobbidi hat. Oh, God, I could do better than that. Oh, yeah. She's an old-time ambassador, sweet-talking, night-walking games. Oh, she's known in the darkest clubs for pushing ahead of the dames. If she says she can't do it, then she can't do it. She don't make false claims. But she's a queen, and such a queen, such a laughter is sucked in the brains. Now she's leading them on, and she'll lay them right down. Yes, she's leading.
Cab, 'cause my stomach feels small. There's a taste in my mouth, and it And so the story goes, they wore the clothes, they said the things to make it seem improbable. The wail of a lie like the hope it was. And the good men tomorrow had their feet in the wallow, and their heads of brawn were nicer shorn, and how they bought their positions with saccharine and trust. And the world was asleep to our latent fuss. Sang the swell through the streets like the crust of the sun, the beauty brothers in our wings that bark, flashing teeth of brass, standing tall in the dark. Oh, and we were gone, hanging out with your dwarf men. We were so turned on by your lack of conclusion. Stone, he was wax, so he could scream and still relax. Unbelievable. And we frightened the small children away. And our talk was old, and dust would flow through our veins, and lo, it was midnight back at the kitchen door, like the grim face on the cathedral floor. The solid book we wrote cannot be found today. And it was stalking time for the moon boys, the Bewley brothers, with our backs on the arch. And if the devil may be here, but he can't sing about that. So turned on, you thought we were bacon. And now the dress is hung, the ticket pawned, the factor max that proved the fact is melted down, woven on the edging of my pillow. And my brother lays upon the rocks. He could be dead, he could be not, he could be you. He's chameleon, comedian, Corinthian and caricature. Shooting up high in the sky, Bewley brothers. In the feeble in the bad, Bewley brothers. Blessed and cold, in the crutch hungry dark, was where we played our mark. Oh, and we were gone, kings of oblivion. We were so turned on in the night war pavilion.
Place and take me by, I'm starving for me gravy. Leave my shoes and door unlocked, I might just slip away. Hey, just for the day. Hey, please come away. Hey, just for the day. Please come away. Please come away. Just for the day. Please come away. Please come away.